With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. It is currently 9 p.m. here on the East Coast of the United States, and it is Thursday, believe it or not. And you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. You know, if you've been a semi-regular listener to this this one-hour nightly extravaganza, that we spend a lot of time, maybe the bulk of our time, talking about the media, letting you hear from the media, and just, you know, going over the insanity that is presented as journalism. And you know, you want to bang your head. I want to bang my head against the wall. I don't know what you want to do. But we are very privileged tonight to have a gentleman who does this for a living, writes about it, posts about it. And I am always on his Twitter site, which I'll give you in a second. And I'm always on the website because, you know, I talk about it. A lot of our cuts come from there. Nicholas Fondacaro is the associate editor for the Media Research Center and Newsbusters.org. And you can also find his work at The Daily Caller, FoxNews.com. And his Twitter is at Nick Fondacaro. And we welcome in Nicholas Fondacaro. Hello, Nicholas. How are you, sir?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing good.
Oh man, I don't know. You know, sometimes it really drives me nuts. I mean, it really gets me so angry. And you know, I consider myself an old timer almost. I've been doing this for so long, but it's still, I've never seen it get to where it is. And the blatant in your face, you know, this is the truth. This isn't liberal. This is the truth, and this is how we present it. And this is it's just insane. And one of my favorite or least favorite shows to focus on, because you guys post about it so much, and you in particular have done that in the past few days, is The View. Before we get specific, I mean, that show is the definition, Nicholas, of disinformation. Either out of total ignorance, which I think most of it is, or, you know, a propaganda, but or a little of that. But I think it's mostly out of total ignorance.
It's definitely out of mostly ignorance. They even admitted themselves. They're like, oh, I'm not the brightest person, or like, I only follow this loosely, or I only read this in a couple of papers here and there. But it's literally out of their own ignorance. But they don't see that there's a problem when you're just spouting stuff. You're spouting your nonsense when it's literally just your political hackness. And ABC doesn't have a problem with it. Disney doesn't have a problem with it, especially when they – like, I think we're going to get to it later, where they're making like really heinous comments about Christians and what Christians believe. And you have the so-called Republicans on the show, Alyssa Farah Griffin and Anna Navarro, who they're basically there just to, let alone being punching bags, are just there to help them beat up on the Republicans, even though they claim this is my party and stuff like that. It's like, it's total nonsense.
No, Anna Navarro is worse than some of the dingbats, you know, when it comes to politics and where she stands on The View itself. But Griffith, I mean, she, you know, from time to time, she'll weigh in with something that's not too terrible. But you're right overall. And let's get to what you're referring to. And you people could find these pieces at newsbusters.org under your byline here. This is just so bizarre, but it's par for the course. Whoopi Goldberg on The View, they're talking about the fact that the 12 Republicans voted for the Respect for Marriage Act the other day. And instead of saying that's great, they say it's hypocritical because, and you got to hear this to believe this, you got to, it's hypocritical with the stance on supporting right to life and being against abortion. And then Whoopi throws in that doctors, Christians don't want doctors to treat gay people, which I don't even know where she got that. But here's the cut. This is D1.
I have a question about that, because they always say it's protecting a life. So where do people stand on war?
Well, that's something.
Well,
else.
That's inconsistent.
I'm just saying, if we're,
gun control,
you don't really have the right to stand and tell me that you're a doctor, but you won't take care of me because I'm gay. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have that right anymore. We fought because so many people died trying to get to a doctor. And a doctor who would not see them. So when you talk about right to life, whose life are we talking about? Because if you're talking about what I believe and what you believe, when you have a Hippocratic oath, you don't draw a line. You don't make those distinctions.
All right. There's so much here. So at the beginning, you know, talking about, okay, you're right. You know, talking about people who are right to life, Christians who are right to life. Well, what's your stance on war? I mean, there's no analogy there. You're talking about an innocent baby unborn compared to a war, which is usually fought to defend your nation, to defend your rights. I mean, it's so insane. And then where did she get this? Tell me what I'm missing, because maybe I'm ignorant. When were doctors not treating gays? I don't get this.
Perhaps this has something like, maybe she's like, because we know that she likes to partake a little bit. So maybe she's a little bit burnt. Right. So like maybe she's still living back in the 80s. And we're like the whole nonsense about like supposedly like the line back then in the 80s was like the Republicans didn't want gays to be treated for AIDS and all that. But I have no idea where she's getting this. The only thing that's been in the news lately in terms of like the religious liberties and stuff like that is a case that's going to be coming before the Supreme Court, where it's a lady who
the web designer,
yeah, which is basically the cake is situation
right.
all over again.
Right. Right.
And
but she's not a doctor.
Nothing to do with doctors. Nothing to do with doctors.
Oh my God.
The thing on war is just like absolutely mind boggling because like you were saying, like wars are fought to defend your country, to stop, like preemptively. It's not the same as abortion, and it's sort of like capital punishment, right? Like the death penalty and stuff. You'll find Christians that are pacifists who are against the death penalty, for the death penalty, who are pacifists in war or for wars that are justified. It's like she wants to have like this one size fits all. It's like, you must believe this. All Christians must believe this. Just because she played a nun in the Sister Act series doesn't make her a theologian.
All right. Now let's move on to, and I love when you do this. I reference it all the time. Whenever I mention her name, first of all, I know that Sunny Hostin, it's not her real name. And if you want to see why she's a racist, just click on the word racist in your columns when you refer to Sunny Hostin as a racist. I love that. Now, but also she blocked me on Twitter, I think 4 or 5 years ago. So I was almost happy to see that we're in the same club. She recently blocked you on Twitter, correct?
Yeah, she recently blocked me. I guess she doesn't like she's complained on the show about getting called out as a racist. It's like, well, you're going to get called out as a racist when you say racist things, when you call white people, white women, roaches, and then complain. It's like, oh, it's just an analogy. It's I'm trying to remember what she called it. She's like, it wasn't, at first she called it a metaphor, and then she called it a simile, which that's not what a simile is.
Right, right. Oh, please. I say that Joy Behar is the dumbest woman on television, and the dynamic duo of dumbness is her and Whoopi. But Sunny, I mean, once you get past the arrogance and the pomposity, she's pretty stupid herself. Now, here's what she said, where, again, she talks about the Republican Party, and she takes Mitch McConnell to task because he's married to an Asian American woman. Here's cut D2.
The majority of Americans agree with having access to safe abortions, with maybe some conditions. And the majority of Americans believe in gay marriage and believe that there should be marriage equality. What was fascinating to me was they keep on calling this a bipartisan bill. Well, only 12 Republicans voted for it.
Yeah, but so God bless them for doing it.
At least those 12. Yeah. But then you have someone like Mitch McConnell, who is in an interracial marriage, who voted against it. So that, I think, explains the entire Republican Party.
All right, two things here. Well, three. Why she brought up what one thing has to do with the other, with the interracial marriage, I don't know. You point out that on another bill that was passed where only 10 Republicans voted for it, she did call that bipartisan and was very happy with it. Now she's complaining that only 12 Republicans voted and she's not happy. And thirdly, and this is a surprise, she did acknowledge when she said most Americans favor safe access to abortion. She did acknowledge that, well, maybe with some restrictions, because that's more than even the Republicans could bring themselves to fight back on, that the Democrats want no restrictions. They don't want to codify Roe. They just want abortion on demand right up to birth. So go ahead, weigh in on all that.
Exactly, because they want to push on the abortion stuff, and they keep going to the ones to the polls that say, oh, majority of Americans support Roe v. Wade, when most Americans really don't understand what Roe actually did. But then they ignore the polls. Like there is, I believe it's a Maris, a Knights of Columbus poll, where they show that most Americans want some form of restriction on abortion. A lot of people support 15 weeks. It's what Europe has. And they really don't want to admit that. And it's really really disgusting in terms of the Mitch McConnell and his wife, because the thing that they're trying to focus on there is also like Roe, Obergefell, and Virginia versus Love, the Love case about interracial marriages. They think just because Roe got overturned, you're going to have this rush to overturn all these other decisions by the court, when the decisions themselves, the majority opinion for the court stated, we're only focusing on this. This opinion only pertains to this case,
right?
Because of these reasons, and that's what it is. And they want to stir this up. They want to create this narrative of hysteria of just like Republicans are trying to undo our society.
Yeah. Oh no, you're absolutely right. I mean, that was a made up issue that you better watch out for, you know, for interracial marriage. That's next and all that. It was just such a crock. We're talking to Nicholas Fondacaro, associate editor for the MRC Media Research Center and newsbusters.org here on the Steve Malzberg Show. Okay. Now we go to Joy Behar, who viciously and maliciously brought up the case that you referred to that's going to be heard, I think, next week by the Supreme Court. It's basically a repeat of the, you know, gay baking cake case for gay weddings. And this is a web designer who doesn't want to, because of her religious beliefs, design a wedding website for a gay couple because of her religious beliefs. And so Joy Behar said the other day that there's a call for Amy Coney Barrett to recuse herself because she belongs to this hate group. OK, the People Praise, which the Southern Poverty Law Center has determined is a hate group. And they only, and here's why, they only favor sex with marriage. Oh, that's hate to me. Anyway, she went on and on. And then guess what? Then it turned out, well, there was not an apology. I'm sure she thought it was an apology, but this is the next day. Listen to 344.
Before we get to hot topics, Joy, you want to clarify something?
Oh, yes, I have to clarify something I said yesterday. I want to correct something I said on air when I stated that People of Praise had been deemed a hate group. I just got them mixed up with another group. It was inaccurate. Okay. So I don't think that's right that I should. I have to say, you know, sorry about that. Yeah. It's just, it was, anyway. I conflated them.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay. That happens. You know, it's easy to do.
It's a live show.
You know, and you're thinking, yeah. And sometimes I call Joy, you know, Sarah.
Yeah. Because we look so much alike.
Because you look identical to each other.
Okay. First of all, again, that's no analogy. You know, she didn't. She did this research, or a producer did this research. This was well thought out, and they got it wrong. She doesn't say what group she confused it with, and she doesn't explain. People who watched the day before aren't going to remember what People of Praise was. They're going to remember Amy Coney Barrett is a religious fanatic Christian nut because she belongs to a hate group. They're not going to remember what People of Praise was. She never even mentions Amy Coney Barrett in the apology. This is outrageous.
Yeah, it's not a proper analogy. And imagine if Joy or Sarah said that they confuse Whoopi and Sonny. that whole thing is that's its own separate thing. But she was citing the Southern Poverty Law Center. You're saying, but Joy is basically saying she was citing the Southern Poverty Law Center, which cites almost every conservative group under the sun as a hate group. And then, but you were citing them, but suddenly you had them mixed up. Like, were you not on the right page? Like where were you getting the information that they were a hate group to begin with? And she was basically treating people of praise like it was a cult. And she was basically like, they believe these weird things. Like, you should save sex for marriage and all sorts. And that marriage is between a man and a woman. She doesn't, right. It's the ignorance of what Catholic doctrine is, as a Catholic myself. Like, she doesn't understand what we believe.
Right. Well, it was just outrageous that she got away with that. And I never said I'm sorry. And, you know, and never said I apologize to Amy Coney Barrett for accusing her of being a member of a religious hate
and
group.
Sorry to interrupt, but she was basically making a point too, where she was like suggesting that Amy Coney Barrett had renounced her faith at one point.
Right. And they had to say, they had to say she's still Catholic. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's just. Now, let me ask you something. On your site, newsbusters.org, Jeffrey Lord, a friend of mine who's been on this show, wrote a piece, and I'm happy to say he credited me in it for playing often on the air. Chuck Schumer threatening. I'm happy to say he credited me in it for playing often on the air. Chuck Schumer threatening the. Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, and of course Kavanaugh got an assassination attempt. Cory Booker on Colbert late night back in 2019 saying his testosterone makes him want to punch Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi recently, it was revealed on the video from inside the Capitol on January 6th, she hoped Trump came there so she could punch him. Joe Biden wanted to beat the hell out of Donald Trump twice, once when he was sitting president and once when he was running. Mazie Hirono, the senator from Hawaii, not long ago on the floor of the Senate, made it a point to say that the abortion decision was a literal call to arms. None of this is brought up by the I don't listen to all conservative media all the time, but nobody's playing this. Nobody's referencing this. And the Republicans themselves certainly are never mentioning any of this. They just sit back and take it that they are the hate group, the hate party. And I don't get it.
And Madonna wanted, after Trump's inauguration,
the White House to burn down. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's definitely something that Republicans need to push back on, especially when they say we're the ones that are threatening violence, threatening lies, and how words matter, and that our speech is the one that needs to be policed and censored, when they're the ones that are going around and doing this. Like, so one of the things that I've done definitely is I've talked about how they are enabling of violence from Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and ultimately the attempt on Justice Kavanaugh, because like you pointed out, the threats against Kavanaugh, meanwhile they were going, that was just last year, you'll feel the whirlwind. And meanwhile, they're for the Nancy Pelosi attack recently, they were going back to 10 years ago with the Tea Party and saying they're responsible for what happened to Pelosi now. Like, the double standard here is ridiculous. And I did a study of comparing the times of like how quickly the Kavanaugh story fell out of the news cycle versus the Pelosi story. In 24 hours, the broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, stopped covering the Kavanaugh assassination attempt. And they were going on about Pelosi for over 11 times the coverage in a 5-day period.
Yeah. Well, it was,
and they were doing it all the way through the election.
Yeah, all part of the plan. I mean, there's so many inaccuracies in that whole stuff. And the NBC reporter who's disappeared, when at the same time, a local NBC affiliate, as you know, out in San Francisco, said the same things in their report that the NBC network reporter who's been banished said in his report about Pelosi opened the door and then he went back inside. And I mean, just outrageous stuff. And by the way, my prediction, he'll never stand trial. I just hope nothing happens to him in jail awaiting trial, like he doesn't decide to hang himself, because if he stands trial, then you're going to have video shown and you're going to have everything and we're going to see what actually happened. And they can't have that. I mean, they can't have that. But let me just, you reference, I think, the first piece you wrote that you have when you go to your Twitter at Nick Fondacaro. you have your first piece from the Daily Caller from a couple of years ago, and you are so dead on. That's why I wanted to bring it up. They do exactly what they claim the right does. The left-wing media and the Democrats, elected officials, they enabled those riots. They enabled the destruction. They enabled the killings, the burning of businesses, everything. You know, the Washington Post did a poll. Somebody did a poll asking how many unarmed black men do you think are killed in the United States every year? And this is around 2020. So, and the answer was over 1,000, or it had a good percentage over 1,000, like 40%. When the actual number cited by the Washington Post for that particular year or the year before was about 2021. And that doesn't mean they were illegitimate. It just means they were unarmed, black, and they were shot and killed. But maybe it could have been legitimate very well. So they're complicit in convincing the American public that there's a war on unarmed black men. And how much damage has that led to?
Oh, absolutely. It's led to a ton of damage. Like I broke a story a couple years ago, last summer, with the Michaela Bryant shooting, where yeah. NBC deceptively edited the 911 call to leave out the part about the caller was saying there's somebody here with a knife trying to stab us, send somebody.
Yes.
And then when they were showing video of the body cam footage, they played it at normal speed, didn't show the knife, only showed it on the ground. Meanwhile, ABC and CBS both froze the video, highlighted the knife, and they played parts of the 911 call where they're like, there's somebody here trying to stab us. Like, some of these networks are honest about it, but NBC in particular really is stoking of this narrative that you're talking about here, and it's a really anti-police narrative. They've even whined that a cop shot somebody when the body cam shows them coming at the cop with the knife inches away.
Yeah.
It's absolute insanity.
It is total insanity. And I got one more, and it kind of dovetails into this CNN. You know, when I think of the riots of 2020, I think of CNN. I think of Lemon. I think of Cuomo, who says protests have to be peaceful and all that crap, and how they justified it, and how, oh boy, one reporter, I can't even remember, a white gentleman. How they had to run from a crowd at one point, and he didn't blame the crowd for like chasing them, even though one of his cameramen had a bottle or something thrown at him, and he fell and he got hurt, but he didn't die or anything. And he stuck up for the understanding the anger. Oh, I wish I could remember his name. The anger of the protesters that chased them off the scene. I'll never forget that. But to CNN. Today they let go of Chris Cizilla and a few others, Allison Kosick, who I think was the business person, Martin Savage, reportedly Anna Cabrera is leaving for NBC. God help NBC. So Cizilla joins Stelter and Harwood and Tubin, really, as the only bigger names to leave. I thought that when they talked about redoing CNN and making it more neutral, which now, of course, what's his name? Chris Slick says, that was bull. We never said we were going to be down the middle. But I didn't know that moving failed host Don Lemon from one slot to another and moving failed host Breonna Keeler from one slot to another and doing that with all of them is what they meant by revamping. And by the way, you got to weigh in on Don Lemon's the other day saying on late night TV, we were never liberal. And the sickness involved, and he called himself a journalist, the sickness that he actually believes both of those things speaks volume. So go ahead, talk about CNN.
Yeah, it's absolute. We were hopeful here that CNN would start moving in a better direction. And it seems that they were making some right moves at first, but then it has sort of stalled out. Maybe the internal politics and the internal pushback, because there was for a long time, the folks at CNN, they are Zucker sycophants over there, where they loved Jeff Zucker. He was their general through this war against the conservatives. And perhaps the pushback internally got too much for Chris Licht. And it's actually disappointing to see that so many of them are this seems to be stalling out, and especially Don Lemon, who is one of the most, not just the most, one of the most liberal people. He's one of the most like evil people. Like, just, I don't like saying it, but he is one of the most evil people on TV, where he will call people, he would say conservatives are people who will lie, cheat, steal from their mothers. They're all racists, Nazis, worse than Trump.
And this isn't when he's drinking on New Year's Eve either. This is during the regular broadcast.
Him on New Year's Eve is a crazy show, because
it's stopping. They're only going to let Andy Cohn and Anderson Cooper drink, supposedly. But yeah, I played recently a bunch of the New Year's Eve highlights over the past years. Too bad I couldn't on radio get anybody to appreciate Kathy Griffin getting on her knees to Anderson Cooper, but that's another story.
Oh, geez. Yeah, because there was one time where I forget who his co-host was a couple years ago. It was him and a female host, and they got so drunk in, I believe it was New Orleans.
Brooke Baldwin?
Yeah, it was Brooke Baldwin. And they were having a debate about which one of them had the largest, lower appendage. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, Andy Cohn asked Shaquille O'Neal how big his you-know-what was, talked about
doing it. At least Andy Cohn, occasionally when he gets drunk, he'll start bashing de Blasio.
Yes, that was good, when he was dancing with his wife on an empty Times Square. That was – hey, listen, we've gone a little longer than I planned. I hope you don't mind, and I really enjoyed it, and I hope you'll come back, because it's just so important to point all these things out to people, and I always tell them, do not believe what you hear. You can't believe what you hear, because it's just – not true. Most and by the way, and this, maybe we'll do this next time, fake news by omission, the worst. That is the most dangerous. That is the worst. You don't put stories in perspective. You don't talk about not telling the public that Joe Biden had to drop out of the 88 presidential race because he lied about everything under the sun and he plagiarized, never mentioning that. How could that be? But that's what they did.
Exactly. Bias by omission is one of the biggest things that we do. We do a lot of studies showing like what it is that they what it is they're not covering. We give numbers, we give the stats, like we do by the minute breakdowns of how much time they give to certain subjects over others. And a lot of times when Kevin Tober, who does our night stuff now, he's taken over from me with that. When he does his networks ignore pieces, you can go in and see, and he'll list off some of the other really sort of asinine stuff that they'll cover, which is like weather. Basically, a lot of times it's local reports to New York City, because they just think New York City, everybody needs to know about like the water main break on a street, or some sort of big crash or bad crash on the outer bridge or someplace.
Yeah, it's just crazy stuff. All right, Nick, thank you so much. Check out at Nick Fondacaro on Twitter. And of course, check out newsbusters.org and the Media Research Center and the Daily Caller. And we'll speak to you again soon. Thank you, Nicholas.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. All right, folks. Nicholas Fondacaro, Fondacaro. All right. You could probably hear my dog barking in the background. So it's a perfect time to take a break and maybe throw an extra minute in there possible from the next break, because since I'm running late on this one. But I thought I hope you enjoyed that interview. I enjoyed doing it. All right. Steve Malzberg, more to come right here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Michael Parker.
Some California workers who have won a lawsuit against the Goleta Water District, which is in Santa Barbara, California. Now, the idea behind the case was that these five plaintiffs who worked for the Goleta Water District claimed that they were discriminated against for the fact that they requested and got religious exemptions to avoid mandated vaccination. The lawyer for this group, Maria Gondero, said that I believe that we can use it in other cases as a precedent. Aha. So each plaintiff is going to receive the $25,000. And you know, we'll take the wins where we can get them. So in this suit, the causes of action were violations of constitutional free speech, of religion, and the Fair Employment and Housing Act. So they took this to court and they won the settlement. So we will see what happens.
The program and Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you back. I apologize in advance if you hear my doggy. He's 18 years, 2 months plus. I think I've told you that before. And somehow he found his way right outside the door where I'm doing the broadcast. I put him back and I'm sure he'll wander back right outside the door again, because now he knows exactly where to go. Anyway, that aside. OK, I want to play something else before we get to the Alex Jones Kanye West interview, which went off the rails. You can't even believe it, what you're going to hear. But I want you to hear someone who used to be on CNN, who won the Nobel Peace Prize. By the way, the Nobel Peace Prize. It was so funny. I didn't even see. I was watching Tucker Carlson before I came on, and they had Karine Jean-Pierre talking about three people that the president was honoring or congratulated or something. And she mentioned each one, and each one won the Nobel Peace Prize. Nobel. Not the Nobel, the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, this is the White House press person, the White House spokesperson. And she doesn't know it's the Nobel Peace Prize and not the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, didn't she call what department store? Oh, the Nordstrom. She called it Nordstrom, the pipeline. Like the store, Nordstrom. The level of ignorance is astounding. But again, it doesn't matter because she's the first black lesbian to hold the job. And that's all that counts. Unbelievable. Maybe one day you'll get lucky and you'll have the first black lesbian pilot. I just hope and pray that she's a lot more qualified for that position than this first black lesbian is for her position. That's all I got to say. Now, this is Alex Christie. Alex Christie, she wasn't on the list of people who got fired here from CNN. No, okay. Well, she used to be a reporter. No. Who is Alex Christie? Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. That's why I bring Alex Christie writes for Newsbusters. She did the story. This is Maria Ressa, a former CNN reporter, 2021 Nobel Peace Prize winner for freedom of expression. Now, you'll see the irony here in a second. Freedom of expression. That's what she got the Nobel Peace Prize for. Yet now she claims that freedom of expression leads to dictators and authoritarianism. And we better put a limit on that freedom of expression. I kid you not. Here is cut D3.
Three sentences I've said repeatedly since 2016. If you don't have facts, you can't have truth. Without truth, you can't have trust. Without these three, we have no shared reality. We can't solve any problems. We have no democracy. That's what social media has done. It has come in and used free speech to stifle free speech.
You following this? She claimed that it was social media that led to the dictatorship in the Philippines, Facebook specifically. And I'm telling you, this is who they are. This is who they are. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Now, here's another good one, if you're ready for this. This is Akeem Jeffries. I told you yesterday, he's the new leader of the Democrat Party, takes over for Nancy Pelosi. Of course, he'll be the minority leader because the Republicans are going to be in the majority in January. He's black. He's from New York. And he's an election denier. I read you yesterday his tweets regarding Trump's election to the presidency. It's illegitimate. The Russians did it. He's an illegitimate president, on and on and on. He's an election denier. But of course, the media will never, ever, 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 ever tell you he's an election denier, because it doesn't matter if you deny the election of Trump or the election of a Republican. You just can't deny the election of a Democrat. Most notably, Joe Biden. Then you're evil. Then you're a threat to democracy. And then you're, you know, with disgust, an election denier. You know, like a climate denier. And it's all a takeoff on Holocaust denier. So here's how ABC, CBS, and NBC presented the story yesterday on their network newscasts after the election of Akeem Jeffries to the position. Here's D4.
And Rachel, while we have you tonight, the other headline from The Hill, history made today. We know Democrats electing their party's leaders for the next Congress, officially naming Congressman Akeem Jeffries of New York to succeed Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, David, and Congressman Jeffries now the first black lawmaker to lead a party of Congress. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi officially passing that torch. In a statement, she says this new generation of leaders reflects the diversity of our great nation, David.
Rachel Scott, live up on the Hill tonight. Rachel, thank you.
House Democrats made history today as they voted in a new generation of leaders. Congressman Akeem Jeffries was elected minority leader, making him the first black American to lead a major political party in Congress. The 52-year-old New Yorker will replace Nancy Pelosi, who made history herself as the first and only woman to be elected Speaker of the House.
Also in Congress today, House Democrats electing a New York Congressman, Akeem Jeffries, as their new leader, replacing Nancy Pelosi, who is stepping down from that role. Jeffries is the first African-American to lead a political party in either the House or Senate. The change comes as Republicans take control of the House in January.
Okay, notice election denier not included. By the way, I have predicted all along since he was elected that the plan, Barack Obama's plan, is that Joe Biden will serve a couple of years or less. I thought maybe it would be 1 year. I was wrong. It's now 2 years. And then step down. And guess who is going to be the new president of the United States? That's right. The laugher herself, Kamala Harris. And I am more convinced now than ever that that's exactly what's going to happen. Joe Biden, just earlier today, was at a function and somebody, somebody from the, after he, oh, so pathetic. Who am I supposed to call on now? He gets his list out. Okay, these are the people I'm supposed to call on. Okay, oh my God. And so he, at the end, someone shouted out something to him about when you run again, or you know, when are you announcing that you're running? And he said, I don't know about that. He doesn't know about that. Because he's not, look, they're going to say, oh, you know, he did more than any president in his first 2 years. He wants to be with his family. He needs more opportunity to sniff young girls. Oh, did I say that? I mean, of course, their hair. It's a lame duck. You know, the Congress is split. Not going to get much legislation passed. So give it to Kamala. And then she gets to pick a vice president. Now, who do you think Kamala Harris might pick? Who do you think? What was the plan all along? Now, I'll just throw something out there. I see it's going to be a woman. I mean, that goes without saying. A woman of color? Not necessarily, because you have Kamala's a woman of color. I mean, unless I could find another black lesbian, then of course, boom. Now maybe Karine Jean-Pierre, you know, she fits that bill. But seriously, I don't know that the relationship between Obama and Hillary is strong enough for the plan to have been Kamala picks Hillary. And plus, Hillary would overshadow Kamala, and Hillary would, you know, that would put her in perfect position to run for president, and Kamala would just, you know, have no chance. Again, unless the plan is Kamala's not even going to run after she serves 2 years. I don't know. Or maybe she, you know, or 1 year, whatever it turns out to be. If I'm right, I could be wrong. It happened once before in my life. I was wrong once. What about, here's just a name that we haven't heard in about 20 minutes. How about Nancy Pelosi? Maybe that's why she stepped down. Maybe that's why she stepped down, to go from two heartbeats away from the presidency to one heartbeat away from the presidency. She'll pose no threat to Kamala. She's not going to run for president at whatever she is, 80 years old or whatever. What do you think about that one? I mean, it could be somebody a lot worse, but, it's not going to be anybody that I like. That I could tell you. So keep an eye on that, because, you know, Joe, with his mental deficiencies, blurts things out, says things that he shouldn't. And when he said, I don't know about that, to me, that was very telling. Very telling. So we'll see. Keep an eye on it. All right, we're going to come back, and I'm going to play you some bites from Alex Jones' interview with Kanye West. I don't even know what to say. Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.
In case you're still wondering why the left is melting down over Elon Musk buying Twitter like a toddler who's been kept in a wet diaper for too long and denied access to the Barbie aisle at Toys R Us, consider his tweet today. The obvious reality, as longtime users know, is that Twitter has failed in trust and safety for a very long time and has interfered in elections. Twitter 2.0 will be far more effective, transparent, and even-handed. Elon has also said that he's going to release reports, internal Twitter reports, on blocking accounts. So we're going to get to see behind the curtain at what went on, what conversations were had when they blocked us. Democrats cannot handle transparency. They cannot survive in a free and open society, which is why they always gravitate towards totalitarianism and censorship. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Hi, my name is Marnie Dobek. I'm a family physician, and my son Zachary almost died of sepsis last year. We were lucky. Most people don't know the word sepsis, and they don't know the symptoms. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Know sepsis. To learn more about the symptoms, please go to sepsis.org.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, so you know about the controversy surrounding Kanye West with his, I mean, he's just gone totally, totally anti-Semitic and crazy. I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, it started several weeks ago with a tweet And he's taken it from there. Actually started before that when he was on Tucker Carlson, who at least did an interview with Tucker Carlson and made anti-Semitic remarks, which Tucker Carlson edited out, never mentioned them, never played them. And that to me was shocking and disgusting. And he still has never acknowledged them as far as I know. And, you know, he recently had the dinner with Nick Fuentes, the Holocaust denier, and Donald Trump. And that was allegedly set up by Milo. The whole thing has just gotten crazy and out of hand. But Alex Jones, who's had certainly his own problems, on his radio show, had Kanye West, and Nick Fuentes was sitting there, of course. And and here's Jones. Here's Alex Jones to Kanye. This is cut D5.
You're not Hitler. You're not a Nazi. You don't deserve to be called that and demonized.
Well, I see good things about Hitler also. I love everyone, and Jewish people are not going to tell me you can love us, and you can love what we're doing to you with the contracts, and you can love what we're pushing with the pornography. But this guy that invented highways, invented the very microphone that I use as a musician, you can't say out loud that this person ever did anything good. And I'm done with that. I'm done with the classifications. Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler. How about that one?
Especially Hitler. Hitler's brought a lot of good things to the table. Now, this is from a man who's sitting on this radio show, which is video also, obviously. I shouldn't say radio show, whatever Alex Jones's show is. And he's wearing a ski mask that you could see through a little bit, covering his whole face. I kid you not. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, there's more. Here's more from Kanye West, D6.
They want to separate and confuse the Christians and make us afraid to stand next to each other. A Christian can stand next to anyone. We can go visit R. Kelly in prison. We can go talk to Harvey Weinstein.
That's what Jesus did.
Yes, because Jesus can save everyone. But if the Zionists can get us so afraid that they're going to do what they've been doing to me, attempting to put me in jail, freeze my accounts, smearing me on the media, you know, all of these things, you know, you put on the whole armor of God and they will not be able to break your spirit.
Okay, so it's the Zionists. So the Zionists are trying to take his bank account and get him fired and all. Does he even know what the word Zionist means? It's the supporters of Israel that are doing this? Or does he assume all Jews are Zionists and he's calling all Jews by the name Zionist? Believe me, all Jews are not Zionists, unfortunately. So I don't even know what he means when he says Zionist. I don't think, I'll put it this way. I don't think he knows what he means when he says Zionist. He might think he knows, but I think he's using the word improperly. But at this point, you know, the guy's a fan of Hitler, so who cares what else he says? Once you're a fan of Hitler, you know, everything else kind of goes out the window. And then he uses these props, which you can't see, but I'll explain to you after the fact. Apparently he just found out who Benjamin Netanyahu is, but came prepared to discuss him. Here's cut 7.
And there are groups, and there is certainly leftist Jews that call everybody Nazis they don't agree with. You don't want open borders, or you don't want your guns taken, or you don't want to take a shot. The ADL had a meeting two weeks ago and said, Alex Jones is an agent of evil. He should be taken off the air. He's the devil because he doesn't want you to take 4 shots. And I'm like, what are you doing calling me anti-Semitic? I'm not against groups. I don't get into group politics.
Adam, I mean, sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Alex.
Yes, sir.
I've got the perfect answer for the ADL. They are going to have to listen up. What we did is we brought Netanyahu with us. Ah.
I'm in the Twilight Zone right now.
Netanyahu, what do you have to say? What do you have to say to Alex Jones right now, Nick Fuentes, and Ye? It was bad for Trump to meet with Nick and Ye.
okay. I had no idea your voice is going to sound like that, Netanyahu.
Okay. So you ready for what he did? What he was doing? He pulled out of his bag a net. A net. N-E-T, a net. Like a little net. And then a bottle of Yoo-hoo, the drink, the chocolate drink. And he said, here's Netanyahu. I don't care. Do it. I do that all you want. I don't care. But really? Really? I mean, that's funny. Netanyahu, Yoo-hoo. I mean, the whole thing is so bizarre. And there's more of this insanity where Alex Jones tries to distance himself from what West is saying and whatnot. I don't know how good a job he did, to be honest with you. Wow. It is really sick. I mean, Kanye. Oh, by the way, remember Candace Owens? We played her apologizing for the anti-Semitic tweet of Kanye West when he tweeted it out. We played her defending Kanye West and making insane. Maybe he said he was going to DEFCON the Jews, whatever the heck he said. And she stuck up for it. He didn't say he was going to have another Holocaust. And by the way, DEFCON 3 is a defensive military tactic, so he's not going to harm any Jew. I mean, just crazy stuff. Folks, I'm sitting here and I'm like, and Tucker keeps having her on, keeps bringing her back on, not to talk about the Jews or Kanye, but she went to bat for this anti-Semitic creep nut job. And at the time, when I found out, like a day later, I said, wait a minute, ding, 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 ding. Candace Owens' husband owns Parler. And Kanye West, as it turned out, by the way, by coincidence, was going to buy Parler from Candace Owens' husband. So I said, you think that had anything to do with her defense of him? Well, now I just read a headline on one of the sites, so I'm not familiar with the whole story. It appears the sale is off. It appears that Conway has gotten so out there that, again, I'm just assuming this now, that Candace Owens' husband doesn't want to sell it to him anymore. I guess even though it would be Kanye's responsibility and Kanye's platform and Candace Owens' husband would have nothing to do with it any further, I guess he has some pride in the fact. And again, I'm just making this part up. I'm assuming he has some pride in the fact that it was his platform. It's still his platform, and he's going to be selling it to an anti-Semitic, kookhead, and doesn't want to do that. So I'll have more on that tomorrow. But that's the latest on that. What else could you say? What else could you say? Now tomorrow, no guest, as you know, and we are going to hear from LeBron James. You may be familiar with what LeBron James said, but I'm saving it for tomorrow. After the game yesterday, the Lakers game, he took the media to task for not asking him, LeBron, about the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, but asking him a lot about Kyrie Irving when Kyrie Irving endorsed that anti-Semitic movie. Okay, from Hebrews to Negroes or Negroes to Hebrews, whatever the heck it was. I don't know what one thing has to do with the other. The Jerry Jones issue is that on September 9th, 1957, yes, 65 years ago, 1957, Jerry Jones is in a picture. 65 years ago, he was in high school. He was in a picture with a bunch of other white kids in front of a Little Rock, Arkansas high school where blacks were being deterred from entering, not allowed to enter the school. And he says now he says, look at the pictures that I was watching. I wasn't there at the door. I was watching. But that's, first of all, that's 65 years ago. He was a kid. And it's football. To say, wait a minute, you guys asked me about Kyrie Irving because he's a black guy who did something you don't like. He did it now. He did it in your face. It's obvious what he did. And he plays basketball like you do. And Jerry Jones, we don't know what he did. He stood there 65 freaking years ago. And you're mad, and you're saying because we asked you about Kyrie, we need to ask you about Jerry Jones. So I'm going to let you hear what LeBron said, and then Stephen A. Smith goes to bat for LeBron. It's sad. All that and much more tomorrow. Tell your friends. Steve Malzberg, thanks for listening on TNT Radio.